The Kurds are an ethnic group in the Middle East with a shared language, culture, and history. Kurdish populated lands, known collectively as Kurdistan, span an area that includes parts of northern Iraq, western Iran, northeastern Syria, and southeastern Turkey. As the story is being told, the current weakness of Baghdad, stronger economic ties with Turkey, and the threat of ISIS have paved the way for a strong partnership between the Kurds, the West, and Turkey. Indeed, the Kurds are depicted as not only secular and democratic, but also specifically pro-Western. But this narrative neglects the tensions that exist between Turkey, the US, and Kurdish political bodies over the coming question of Kurdish statehood. It also obscures differences between the various Kurdish political organizations themselves. By confronting the threat of ISIS, the Kurds of Iraq and Syria have come to the forefront of American policy in the region. But the real story of the Kurds is more complex than the one being told by the Western media. Relations between the KRG, which is the regional government of Iraqi Kurdistan, and the U.S. have indeed strengthened over the last decade. We sat down with Dr. Mohammed Sharif, a fellow at the London Institute for Asiatics, to discuss the ways in which this relationship has developed.
In 2007, the KRG representation to Washington was officially opened. You have an official embassy, if you like, or a representation of the Kurdistan region in Washington, D.C. In 2008, following that, in 2008, you had the establishment of the Kurdish American Congressional Caucus, which has around 53 congressional members. And then following that, in 2011, you had the opening of the U.S. consulate in Erbil. That's on the political level. Then on the economic level, in 2012, you had the establishment of the United States Kurdistan Business Council.
Dr. Sharif went on to discuss a similar strengthening of the relationship between Turkey and the KRG.
With regards to Turkey, I don't see these developments as superficial at all, because last year alone, in 2013, trade exchange between the Kurdistan region alone and the Republic of Turkey was $8 billion. $8 billion is a substantial sum, which accounts for more than 75% of total trade exchange between Turkey and Iraq.
Shifts in the strategic analyses of Turkey and the U.S. have also led to stronger diplomatic relations with the KRG. We spoke to Dr. Soner Çağatay, director of the Turkish Research Program at the Washington Institute for Middle East Studies, who argues that as Turkey has watched moderate Islamist governments fail across the region, it has begun channeling its secular side and seeks a stronger relationship with the KRG.
I think this is basically recognizing that Turkey's Middle East policy has not made Turkey a Middle East power, that Turkey has little influence in regional capitals, whether it's Damascus or Baghdad, that Turkey's ambitions to dominate or change Iraqi and Syrian politics have been bookended by another regional competitor, Iran, that Turkey's policy of supporting the Muslim Brotherhood-related parties in Egypt and Syria and Tunisia and Libya have largely failed.
Dr. Çağatay explains that these failures have encouraged Turkey to befriend the KRG.
So Turkey is left with no friends and no allies and no proxies in the Middle East. And the Kurds have become Turkey's only proxy in the region, only friend and ally, both in terms of regional politics, but also as a very necessary cordon sanitaire, sort of a buffer zone that would shield Turkey from sectarian war, al-Qaeda presence, ISIS threats, and all sorts of instability coming from Iraq and Syria.
Cooperation between the U.S., Turkey, and the Kurds is more complex, however, when all Kurds in the region are considered. Turkey has been engaged in an ongoing conflict with the PKK, a Kurdish nationalist militia in Turkey, since 1984. A 2013 truce between Turkey and the PKK recently ended over tensions regarding Turkey's reluctance to let Peshmerga forces cross its border to fight ISIS in Syria. Turkey has been far less willing to cooperate with PYD, the major Kurdish political organization in Syria, than the KRG, Iraqi Kurdistan's regional government, because the PYD has a closer relationship with the PKK. The PKK and the PYD share historical grounding in socialist, anti-imperialist, and left-wing ideology. This reality complicates the representation of the Kurds in the U.S. media as uniformly pro-United States and pro-West, simply because they are democratic. We had the opportunity to speak with a Kurdish student and journalist named Yadgar Ismail, who recently graduated with an MA from Brunel University in London and now lives in Erbil, the capital of Iraqi Kurdistan, on this topic.
Even the Kurdish community is somehow divided. We can say it is divided, even though the pro-Turkey, pro the KRG pro-West are more, but there are still some supporters of Iran being involved in fighting ISIS, something that U.S. may not like. U.S. doesn't like Iran to, let's say, to be in this alliance that is now fighting IS. So it's a very complicated issue. You have two different political equations that contradict each other. You have Iran, you have Turkey, you have Iraq, you have Turkey, you have Iraq, you have KRG. Then you have PDK, let's say, the party of the KRG president, which is not in a good relation with PKK and PYD. So it's very complicated.
We also spoke to another Kurdish student named Hamad Jamal Ali, who lives in Suleymaniye, a city in Iraqi Kurdistan. He expressed a view that the diversity of voices in Kurdish areas varies not only from political group to political group, but from city to city.
If you talk about Kurdistan, you can't really talk about it in general, because there are differences between each area. Like, each city has different people, each city has different beliefs. For example, I live in Suleymaniye city, and it's a very liberal city, whereas if you go to the south, like Duhok, it's like more religiously conservative.
The Kurds have distinct desires and strategic goals, but treating the Kurds as an inherently pro-West people leaves these real Kurdish goals out of the conversation. Yadgar weighed in on this issue, saying that many in Iraqi Kurdistan see the conflict as a means to gain power and establish independence.
There are two different opinions about this in the Kurdish community here. The first opinion is that fighting ISIS is actually an opportunity to go for independence in quicker than it was expected. But then the other opinion, let's say the other side of the argument says that perhaps ISIS actually stopped independence that KRG was going for a few months ago. I mean, the president of KRG actually declared that the working with Iraqi central government has been failure, and it's time for the Kurdish people to decide for themselves whether they want to go for independence or stay with Iraq.
But whether the independence movement of the KRG is hindered or helped by the conflict with ISIS, Yadgar expressed no doubt that a declaration of independence would come soon.
The thing is, now we have to deal with ISIS, then I think it's just a matter of time. Maybe in next year we will vote, there will be a referendum.
Hama expressed a similar sentiment. The unifying feature, in Hama's view, of the various Kurdish regions is a desire for self-rule.
To be honest with you, like, the ultimate goal of the majority of the Kurdish population is an independent Kurdish state. I don't really think that uniting the four parts of Kurdistan is going to happen in the near future. But most of the Kurdish people have that at the back of their mind, that one day all the different parts of Kurdistan are going to be united in their one united government and ruled by Kurdish people.
But the Kurdish ambitions for independence, or at least autonomy, are no secret. As Yadgar noted, the KRG president Masoud Barzani has stated that the KRG intends to move further away from Baghdad supervision and towards independence. During our conversation, Dr. Mohammed Sharif noted the clarity of the Kurds' intentions.
I mean, if you go back to the referendum of January 2005, it was an informal referendum on the independence of Kurdistan. 98.8% of Kurdish people informally participated and voted for Kurdish independence. So I'm assuming this message has been received in Washington. They appreciate that this is what the Kurdish people desire.
U.S. policymakers should be completely aware of the fact that self-rule is a priority of Kurdish political organizations, but the Western media is not talking about it. This contradiction helps to explain a theme that showed up in almost all of our interviews, the substantial inadequacy of U.S. support for the Kurds. The Kurds have the sheer manpower to match ISIS, but they don't have the resources to manage a humanitarian crisis and a war. Despite the U.S. narrative of a strong U.S.-Kurdish relationship, the U.S. commitment to a one-Iraq policy of a united democratic Iraq may limit the amount of support the U.S. is actually willing to extend to the Kurds. Yadgar pointed out the hypocrisy of a U.S. policy that supplies heavy arms to an unstable central Iraq, but contributes weaker munitions to the KRG.
Yeah, there's a, let's say, strong debate, a long debate every day, on the streets, on the TVs here, international televisions and networks, about whether what the U.S. is doing is enough or is I think it's not enough because, as you may know now, the airstrikes may actually, they have changed a little bit of the, let's say, the situation, but I don't think they are enough. More weapons are needed, you know, modern weapons. Let's not forget that the IS are using US-made weapons and NATO-made weapons, Humvees and Hummers that are bulletproof, and Peshmerga were actually, you know, suffering, you know, fighting them. They couldn't actually resist. So I think there is need for more weapons, more sophisticated weapons, US-made weapons to use against US-made weapons.
Hamas focused on the humanitarian crisis, where the massive refugee outflows from the Syrian conflict have only grown as ISIS has become more powerful.
I don't think the resources are enough. For example, the refugees, some of the refugees are in school, and some of the schools haven't started the year, like they have missed a semester because of the refugee crisis. You know, as winter approaches, there are going to be other problems. I think we are really in need of international support for the refugee crisis that is currently taking place in Kurdistan.
And Dr. Mohammed Shareed captured the way in which these gaps in U.S. support heighten budget constraints of the KRG.
The Kurds haven't been receiving funding from Baghdad since February this year. People are getting quite desperate. The government in Baghdad has been pursuing a pro-Shiite, sectarian and divisive policy. So people are struggling, as well as the government. So obviously what can be done is more American support in terms of financial support for the United Nations. Especially, I'm aware that the UNHCR is playing a major role at the moment with more funding. That would be an excellent thing. And secondly, the United States is already striking the Islamic State. But I think the major problem really with the Kurds, and they've been complaining about it for a while, I mean, the weapons they're receiving from the United States are not heavy armor. It's not heavy weaponry. They're quite old Russian-made light weaponry.
Dr. Mohammed Shareed provided one explanation for U.S. reluctance to provide the Kurds with heavy weaponry.
With air attacks, you have a limited success rate. After that, you have to retake control of that territory. And you can't really retake control of territory with AK-47s and light weaponry. So that is a major flaw on the American side. And it seems that the Americans are reluctant to provide heavy weaponry to the Kurds because they feel that may be used potentially for the future declaration of Kurdistan's independence.
If support for the Kurds has been inadequate, this inadequacy is at least partially related to Western and Turkish fears of Kurdish aspirations. We have to ask whether the U.S. government is acting to empower the Kurds or to use the Kurds as a delay tactic. If the U.S. decides to put its full weight behind the Iraqi Kurdish Peshmergas, it must accept that the defeat of ISIS will ask as many questions as it will answer. If the KRG establishes independence, what would be the status of Kurds in Syria and Arabs in Iraqi Kurdistan? What would happen to people and cities in the contested regions of Iraq that are historically Kurdish but have been populated with Arab people over the past decades? Could the relationship between Turkey and an independent Kurdistan ever be viable? Would an independent Kurdistan stabilize or destabilize Iraq? As much as the U.S. wants to avoid confronting these issues, the Kurds are strong in their own right. The KRG will continue to push for Kurdish self-rule, and the questions that follow cannot be ducked forever.